It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be with you today. Thank you very much for making the decision to be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ this morning. I do want to say to those of us who, to those of you who may be visiting, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for choosing to come our way for whatever reason, and we hope that you'll want to stick around. We hope that you'll want to come back and be a part of us anytime that you're available. To our members, thank you for being here today. It's great to see you. Just as a reminder that was mentioned earlier, tomorrow night is men's ministry meeting 2, all right? So meeting 1 went well. We want to have 40 in attendance if we can. And even if we're not in body, like there may be at least one wants to call in. So we'll still count them in the number, right? So please come if you can. By the way, the softball game is at 8 o'clock. Can we back it up to 6? Can we do that, men? Is that enough time to get you here? Just plan on starting, if you can, around 6. The softball game's at 8. They wanted to be able to come, and I appreciate that, and I want to honor them with that as well. So please note that. Also, the number 400, that needs to stick out in your heads for a lot of reasons, because there's somebody hungry right now to know about Jesus. And we have an opportunity to bring them to Christ. We'll use October the 27th as a day that we can gather that many people in here. We'll be able to hopefully blow the walls out of this place, and it'll be great, and we'll be able to scoot over, fill this place up. So please come on back and be making plans for that as well. Wouldn't it be a tragedy, though, if, let's say, we grew to 400, we grew to 600, one day we grew to 1,000, one day we grew to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. Could you imagine growing to 5,000 people in 3 years? That'd be a lot of folks. That'd be a lot of people in a quick amount of time. Could you imagine, again, this congregation of 5,000 has a strong leader that's leading the group and other strong leaders that are assisting. And they have a truly amazing minister. I'm not talking about me now. But it's the most amazing minister of all time. Let me put it to you that way. They're having wonderful life-changing moments that are happening every single day of their lives. The whole country is talking about the growth. They're talking about the minister. They're talking about the amazing things that are happening. And in one day, that amazing minister, the greatest minister the world has ever known, preaches a sermon to those 5,000 plus people. And then all of a sudden, 4,000 and a lot of people. I lost some count in my head. 4,888 of them, all right, decide to leave. I mean, how would that be? I mean, what if we grew to 5,000 and one day I preached a sermon and 4,888 of them left? Boy, you want to talk about changes. You want to talk about struggles. You want to talk about tough times. But guys, that's exactly what happened in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus is doing great things in these folks' lives. It's hard to imagine that happened, but it did. And I want us today, as we talk about strength and talk about choosing strength, talking about growing in our own lives and the lives of others, I want us to think about what happens in John chapter 6. You see, I'll say this again in a minute, but strength is a choice, but so is weakness. Today, if I choose strength, then great things are going to happen. I'm going to follow. No matter what he says, I'm going to do. But if I choose weakness, then my life is going to be in turmoil. I'm going to sway with the wind. Things aren't always going to go my way, and guess what? I'm going to go their way. I'm going to go the way of the world. And that's what happens. When things I don't like happen, then I'll just leave or I'll just quit. And that's what's happening in John 6. In John 6, verses 1 through 15, Jesus' followers, again, over 5,000 of them now, they've gathered where He miraculously feeds them with a young boy's 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Now, on the following day, in verses 22 and following, Jesus teaches them a lesson. He's used physical bread to feed them. Now he's going to talk about spiritual bread. And so while he's talking about spiritual bread, this lesson he teaches them is the bread of life, is what he's talking about. At least 4 times in verses 22 and following do we learn Jesus teaching them about being filled with the bread of life. The bread of life. The bread that we need to be eating of. The bread that we gathered around to take of His body, His blood. We need to eat of Jesus Christ. We need to partake of Jesus Christ. It is after the sermon on the bread of life that many of these disciples start talking amongst themselves. They start discussing this. They start wondering how this can be and what's going on. And that gets us to verse 60. And so I want us to read together verses 60 through the end. Many of His disciples said, "This is very hard to understand." The New King James puts it there, "This is a difficult saying." This is a hard saying. This is something I can't understand, right? He goes, they also ask, "How can anyone accept it?" This is a difficult saying. How can anyone accept it? Verse 61 now, Jesus was aware that His disciples were complaining. So He said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, and the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me." For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and He knew who would betray Him. Then He said, "That is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me." At this point, many of His disciples turned away and deserted Him, and they never followed again. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and He asked, "Are you also going to leave?" Man, what a scene, right? Let's pause right there for a moment. 5,000 men, okay? So we call it 5,000, but it could have been 10,000 for all we know, right? He's talking about, again, He just miraculously the day before fed them this miraculous dinner, where they had so much food left over from 5 loaves and 2 fish that they were able to gather up the rest. Jesus, only Jesus can do that. And so then He talks to them about, "You need to partake of Me. You need to eat of My body. You need to do these things." And they hear this and they say, "Oh, this is a hard saying. This is difficult for me to hear. I don't like what I'm hearing. This doesn't help me. This doesn't encourage me. This doesn't make me feel good today." So you know what they said? They said, "Forget you. Thank you for filling my belly, but I'll see you later." And they turn away. And one by one, or 10 by 10, or hundreds by hundreds, they march away. And all that's left there is this 12. And He turns to him and He says, "Do you all want to leave as well?" But man, one of the most powerful moments in all of Scripture happened right here as Simon Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom would we go? You hold the words to eternal life. We believe and we know You are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus said, "I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12, who would later betray Him. What a moment right here. But folks, this depicts strength versus weakness as good as anything we could point out today in our Scripture. Jesus fed them. He gave them their needs. He took care of them. Even when the disciples said, "Hey, we'll send them away," He took care of them. He fed them. He showed them the power that He had. And as long as things were good, we're ready to follow. I'm going to worship. I'm going to do what you say. I love you. But then he starts preaching to me about changing some things and getting some things different and doing some things different. And they're like, we can't do this anymore, and so we got to leave. And those 12, he turns to me, asks him that question. You want to go also? But Peter, wow, that was weakness, right? Those marching out. Those marching out showed weakness. But Peter showed strength. Old Rock himself, right? Showed strength. And he said, Lord, where should we go? You hold the words, the key to eternal life. Today, as we think about this, I need you to think about following Jesus. You see, when it comes down to it, it's all about choice. This morning, you made some choices. I made some choices. Some choices that we didn't even have to think about. Choices to get up and get clean and get up and brush our teeth and get up and eat. Those are things we don't think about, right? We just do them. Then you made some choices that hey, I'm either going to not go to Sunday school today or I am. And some made that choice. And then some decided, hey, I'm going to worship today. And then some did not. And, you know, and again, there are choices that we make every day. And so right now, you chose to be here, and I'm so thankful you did. But I want to ask you this, which side will we choose? Will we choose to follow and be all in, or will we choose to be part-time? Well, if we choose to follow and be all in, then great. We can be one of those that said, Lord, you hold the words to eternal life. But if I choose to be here part-time, be here only when it's convenient to me, then folks, I may as well be in the thousands that walked away. You see, that's choosing weakness over strength. Today, let's touch on these men that were convinced that Jesus was the Christ. Andrew, one of the 12, you know what he was known for? Bringing his brother to Jesus Christ. That's strong. That's strong. As soon as he met Jesus, he ran to tell his brother Peter the news. Old Philip, you know what he did? He also told his brother. His brother Nathanael about Jesus. Nathanael also believed to be Bartholomew, asked the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, that anything good happened to be Jesus Christ. Then there are James and John. These men chose to follow. They were fishermen by trade. They were the sons of Zebedee. Jesus had nicknamed them the sons of thunder. Then we have James, who's also called James the Less. Perhaps he was given this nickname because he was smaller or younger or even quieter than the other James. I don't know, but there was a reason. Then we have Matthew, who chose to follow. He was a tax collector. I'm sure that when Matthew came along, there were people that didn't like him, right? Then there's Simon the Zealot. There's not a whole lot known about Simon the Zealot, even through tradition and things that are handed down that aren't divine. In fact, he's quite possibly the most obscure of all the disciples, but he still chose to stay. Then you have Thaddeus. He's also known as Jude. Thomas. We beat Thomas up all the time in sermons and lessons because why? We call him Doubting Thomas. But he was the one who needed to see the proof of the resurrected Savior before he would believe. And so that leaves two. And I would suggest these two of all the 12 are the most famous. And I'm going to suggest to you today that they're famous depending on which side of the street you're going to choose. There's Peter and there's Judas. We know Peter. We know Judas. One chose strength. One chose weakness. What did it take for these 12 to remain followers of him even though Judas didn't? The same thing it's going to take for you and I to choose strength today. For us to choose strength, we must become and remain a follower of Jesus Christ. It's going to take faith. It's going to take a strong faith. Strength is a choice, but so is weakness. So in order to do that today, I'm going to give you 3 points, and I think we can get them from John 6, that I believe will help us today to be stronger in our walk with God, and even when weakness comes our way, temptation comes our way, and the devil comes our way, we can choose strength. Number one is this: we must have faith over fear. We must today choose faith over fear. I believe to understand this point best, we have to go back to those two apostles, or two disciples, I should say, Peter and Judas. Let's think about their lives for a moment. Judas seemed to look out for himself, right? He wanted money for turning Jesus Christ over to the authorities, 30 pieces of silver. But then there's Peter, who at times seemed to look out only for himself. I mean, let's face it, we're compare-contrasting, but there's some things we have to compare. Peter also, like Judas, looked out for himself. He, along with others, in Mark chapter 9, you know what they did? They argued over who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know what that is? That's selfish. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. I'm Peter. What do you mean I'm the greatest? That's selfish. That's self. Judas, obviously, did not understand the full purpose of Jesus Christ. I don't think he ever registered it. I don't think he ever really got it. But there were times when Peter didn't get it. There were times when Peter didn't understand fully the purpose of Jesus Christ. In fact, in Acts 1 verse 7, they're all there except Judas. The 11 are there. They'll choose Matthias a little bit and be 12 again. But Jesus is standing before them. The one who's been with them for 3 years saying, "My kingdom's not of this world. My kingdom is going to be spiritual. You're going to open the doors of it. I'm not going to be here. The Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to empower you." And He's telling them all these things, and He's done it for 3 years and He's got them ready. He's sent them out and the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. You've got to be the laborer. Let's choose strength. And they stand there and they say, "Lord, when you come back, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom back to Israel?" I would have been like, "You goobers." You know? Of course, I've done a lot of dumb things. But Jesus has so much patience. He said, "Just wait on the Spirit. It'll all become clear." But Peter was in that group. So did Judas understand the full purpose of Christ? No. But Peter didn't either. So again, we're comparing more than contrasting. Guess what? Right here in John 6, verse 70, Jesus called Judas a devil. "I choose the 12 of you, but one is a devil." Boy, that's terrible. I would hate to be called a devil. But do you know what? In Matthew 16, when Jesus gives Peter the spiritual keys to the kingdom, listen to what He calls him in verse 21. In verse 21, He tells him things he must suffer. Verse 22, Peter said, He takes him aside. He said, He began to rebuke him, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. You won't suffer. You won't die." But then Jesus turned to Peter and He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Again, they're not that different. Judas, a devil. Peter, Satan. Wow. Judas betrayed Jesus with his lips, with a kiss. But Peter denied Him 3 times and betrayed Him with his mouth. They're not that different. But at the end of the day, one hung himself and one opened the doors of the kingdom. So what happened? Peter chose faith over fear. Judas clung to fear over faith. Today, what will you choose? Listen, folks. I don't think we walk around like we're bulletproof. Please understand, okay? We have to respect things. And there are things that startle me. I told you this. There are things that startle you. If something jumped out, we would be startled. But that is not cowardness. That's not fear. We as Christians, we don't walk around like we're the baddest people on the planet, but we better walk around braver than anybody on the planet. We've got to walk around bolder. We've got to walk around knowing that there is nothing that a person on this earth can do to destroy my soul. If my soul belongs to Jesus Christ, He holds it in His hands. And you know what He says? Nothing can pluck us out of our Father's hands. The only thing that we can do today is let go of His hand and choose weakness over strength, or fear over faith. Revelation 21:8, we know it, right? Liars go to hell, but so do the cowardly. Today, we can't allow fear to paralyze us. We must allow faith to lead us. Number two, if I'm going to be strong and choose strength, then I must choose the Word over the world. Christ's words in John 6, go back to it, verses 63 and 64. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me. This is one of those times when I want to just ask you. I mean, not as, I don't know, not really up on the stage shouting down to you, but just as humbly and as dear as I know. Do we believe it? Do we believe this book? Or do we not? You see, I've said this before. Right now, it's a book, right? Right now, it's a book that has a nice cover on it, and you know, it's the pages aren't used, and they're not torn, and they're not worn, and everything else. And I just throw it down, and I leave it in my car, and I leave it wherever, or I, you know, whatever. I mean, think about this. If I were to drop my phone today or leave my phone or whatever, again, I know we can put the Bible on it and it kind of defeats the purpose, but think about this. If I were to do that, man, I would do everything in my power to get that thing going again, but this, I'm looking for it on Sunday morning. Where's my Bible? Y'all see my Bible? If I bring it at all? Or if I have... So, it's either just a book or it's what Seth read to us. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Able to pierce the hardest of hearts, between the marrow, into the joints, deep and down, into the hardest of hearts. Is that what this is? Yes, it is. This is the living Word of God. And if it's in there, and Jesus Christ said it, and God said it, then I know it's true, because it's impossible for Him to lie. So either it is the inspired Word of God, or it's just some other book. Today, if I choose the inspired Word of God, I choose strength, then I better believe the words in this book. And I need to live by them. That's why Peter said, Lord, You hold the words to eternal life. That's why he said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Because I am the truth. Today, as those 12 stood there and said, we're not going anywhere, I want to ask you, what about you? What about you? Are we going to listen to the words of Christ? Are we going to listen to the world? I'm just going to be real honest with you. The world's going to tell you this book's outdated. The world's going to tell you it's a fairy tale. There are even some spiritual worlds out there that's going to tell you, hey, man, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We've got to make a decision. We've got to decide, which way am I going? I can't help but that Judas is just standing there thinking, I'm going to choose money. Jesus knew it. I'm going to choose 30 pieces of silver. I'm going to choose a nice house out over the water. I'm going to choose to not do this anymore. I've already taken enough out of the treasury. I'm going to retire early. I'm going to choose Satan. And yes, there were times when Peter forgot this. But in the end, he chose eternal life. He chose the Word. He chose Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by in it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You know, there are people that think we are absolutely out of our minds today. For you to sit here and me to listen to me talk for this long, for us to get dressed up, for us to take part of our day, there are people that think this is absolutely the most ridiculous thing ever. But we do it because we choose strength. We do it because we choose life. We do it because we choose Jesus Christ. And we choose God Almighty. And we decided to go down the narrow path into the narrow gate. So we've got to choose to listen. Who am I going to listen to today? The Word of God or the world? See, the world's got a loud mouth. The world's got a big mouth. But if we want to choose strength over weakness, we've got to follow the Word. We've got to be in the Word. Because in the Word we find the way to eternal life. And then finally this morning, it boils down to this. We've got to choose the Savior over ourselves. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke. Turn back to Luke 14. Let's read together verses 25 through 33. I choose this version today because I like the way it's worded. I think it really, really makes an impact. A large crowd was following Jesus. Here we go again, right? Same kind of thing in John chapter 6, right? He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, now let's pause right there. As long as things are good, God, I'm going to be yours. As long as things are good, God, I'm going to be happy. As long as things are good, God, I'm going to praise you. As long as you feed my belly, as long as I've got money in the bank, as long as I've got roof over my head, as long as my children are happy, as long as my family's happy, as long as things are good, I'm going to be first in line. I'm going to follow you. Jesus recognized that. And so here's what he says. If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Love less, children, not hate there. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, yes, your own life also. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's one person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against them? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving me everything you own. You remember in John 6 when he turned to them after he had talked about the bread of life and they said, this is a hard saying. Folks, I want you to know what we just read in Luke 14 is not necessarily easy. That is a hard saying. But it comes down to strength versus weakness. It comes down to doing whatever it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, we come into this world and we call it terrible twos because at 2 years old, we've been given everything we cried for, right? Everything we made a sound. We cried, they gave us bottles. We cried, we got clean clothes. We cried, we got to go to sleep. We cried, we got to be healed. And then all of a sudden around 2 years old, they start saying the word no. No, no, no. And now we don't know how to respond. Well, we don't ever sometimes get out of those terrible twos. We get into the terrible 22s, the terrible 32s, 42s, and we can go on, right? And so with that said, we are selfish by nature. Selfish. Behind this wall is water. If I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times over the years. Behind this wall is water. And today we can make a choice. Today I can choose to not be weak anymore. Today I can choose to not be lost anymore. Today I can choose to not just have a world that's been flipped upside down anymore. Today I can make the choice that I want to choose Jesus Christ. I want to choose the words to eternal life. I want to choose strength. Well, if we do that, we come here and we confess the greatest name of all, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we'll go upstairs and we'll come down and we'll meet and that screen will be raised and you'll see we'll be baptized into Jesus Christ. We'll come up out of it. Guess what happens when we do that? We quit being about me. We quit being about us. We put selfishness to death. We put weakness to death. We put the world to death. And we live to the Word, we live to faith, and we live to Jesus Christ. So I got to ask you, what's holding you back? What's holding us back? Maybe it's our family, maybe it's a job, maybe it's friends, maybe it's sin. Whatever it is, we've got to give it up today. We can't be selfish today. In fact, we've got to become selfless. If I want strength, then I must choose the Savior. In closing, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. And I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. And you shall not prolong your days in the land when you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Carries words, strength and weakness. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Today, right now, choose life. As together we stand and sing.